struggled so much. If there ever was a time in our history of man that we need to have faith, I would say that right now is the time. We need to have faith in our country and in our God. Many people speak disparagingly of their own country. They become entangled in the obvious, in the appearances, in other people who seem to be doing this thing or this other thing. They are judging whether the action of others might be harmful to the welfare of the whole. The result is very difficult to see beyond what is before their eyes. They are not aware of the high purpose of life. Great masses of people do not realize that we are all a part of an irrevocable destiny of a very great and magnificent magnitude. Some are not aware that God makes his dwelling place in every man. God is over all, in all, and through all. And nor do they know that this is one of the oldest truths in the world. They are not aware that the government is upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. And from this day forward, let us honor and sustain our relationship with our country and with God. Let us look at our world in a new light, in a new way. We tend to look at events of the day with a skeptical and a jaundiced eye. There are many rumors, much speculation, and seemingly proof of the failure of men and methods. But let us not be fooled, and let us not be carried away by what seems so evident. These are great truths that we take for granted. The turning of the earth, the gravity that holds us to the planet, and the waves that wash to the shore. Yet we forget something closer at hand that influences our life each and every moment. We have a national commitment we have inherited from our forefathers. We as a nation and as individuals have been consigned and entrusted to God. We are dedicated to God whether we know it or not. This is true even when we forget it, as we become entangled and consumed by outer things. We are always searching for a good luck charm, a rabbit's foot, or an Aladdin's lamp that will perform great magic for us. And while we spend time searching for this charm that will make us safe, we forget that it is always at hand in pocket, wallet, and purse. Even when we forget it, still has its magic. It is the money of the United States, each single piece of which bears the words, "In God we trust." This is our birthright. Do we accept it? Do we trust God? Or do we believe in powers in the outer great enough to destroy us? Man has been on a great quest. He has been seeking and searching for something he must feel and know with his heart and his mind. He is searching for the unknown, and yet he knows it as well as he knows his own face, because it is something inside of him. He knows it, and when he touches it, he becomes aware of it. Yet he continues to seek everywhere in the outer for what he can only find within himself. We are seeking this God state deep within. We know it is there, and we cannot fail to find it, all opinions to the contrary notwithstanding. We may be foolish enough to say that there are many who live and die without finding their God self, but we who judge from the surface can never know about the inner workings of spirit or what is happening to the soul within, not even in ourselves. Just know that the universal one power cannot, will not ever fail. We have a natural commitment to God, and we shall not fail. Just the act of carrying these coins has an amazing power that the human mind does not sense nor comprehend. Just to carry this declaration of truth with us, even without conscious thought, has a tremendous spiritual meaning, not apparent to the senses or obvious to the intelligence. This heritage of God is entrusted to every person born in this country, as well as to every person who has found their way to our shores. No one is here by chance. All are here because in some strange and unfathomable way, they belong. There has been a predestined gathering of people of every race, every nationality, and climate in this country for a great purpose. Only by following the path of God can we individually and as a nation or a group fulfill our destiny. Sometimes we believe we are in this consciousness to be free or to find wealth or to begin life again. But we are in this consciousness because we cannot help ourselves. We have an inner rendezvous with spirit, and so we are drawn into the wonderful circle of the consciousness of God. The greatest danger in the world today comes from half-truths. A half-truth has a portion of truth that can be proved, which causes us to accept another portion that has no basis in truth. The truth is that we are here. Why we are here is the half-truth. We are not here for outer accomplishment. We are not here for fame and fortune alone, but to bear witness to the truth, to report it, to stand for it, and to prove it. When we find the inner, the outer things that are ours by divine right come according to the law of life. Remember the words, "All these things shall be added unto you." The elixir of life is truth, and truth is the preserver of all humanity. Truth is the reality of God and man. The two are one. This knowledge transmits life and is the purest essence of all of life. Truth is the fulfillment of everything, the highest essence in man revealed by his own awareness. It is no longer enough to try to solve problems. The time has come when we must know what causes the problem. War, depression, lack, loneliness, unhappiness, and disappointment are symptoms of a greater ailment, which is not knowing God and not trusting in His supreme power. We must always trust, whether we have come to know or not. The scripture says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." If we look at problems in terms of problems, we fail, or we are soon lost in the problems. And we find ourselves wandering around in fear and anxiety and worry about what other people are thinking and what other people are doing. We are soon looking for temporary solutions to what we now think are permanent problems. If we look at problems as assignments that must be finished, life becomes an adventure in living. We must know that all so-called problems are a part of our unfolding growth. There is in every man a hidden spring. It is the truth of God. Every man must touch this inner energy. The statesman and the politician are geared to outer affairs, to something outside of the soul. The military leaders are geared to order and discipline. The industrial leader is geared to competition, advertising, and making money. The everyday man is geared to making a living. Yet every person must fully know the tempo of God and become aware of this hidden spring within. Sooner or later, each human being will awaken and will fulfill his purpose in life and accept what has been entrusted to him. We must recognize that man is an idealist. We all have a plan for life, and this is our perfect spiritual pattern. We need to be bound to our greater cause. Our only vocation is finding and knowing God, which is good, the satisfying and fulfilling of life. Everything else we do is an avocation. It is a hobby. We are here for one main and tremendous purpose, to lift ourselves and others to the realization of something bigger, something greater than our outer self and its limitation. The world is ruled by inflexible laws which control the motions of the heavenly bodies. Everything in the universe is in motion, including each and every one of us. We cannot resist this movement, and therefore we cannot resist or prevent growth and evolution. Man cannot resist the God power that is drawing him upward today any more than a young boy can stop the growth of his arms and his legs. There is something happening, and we are all part of it. Every breath of life is a part of the universal action of spiritual unfoldment. We are aware of our breath, yet we struggle and we resist the universal motion in the events of our life. Not knowing it is the mystical order of God. It is the moving spirit that lives within each of us. Slowly, humanity has come to recognize and understand the feeling within us as the living God. Yet, unfortunately, we do not always contact the spirit with the experiences that seem to be in our outer life, our friends, our family, or our work. But the truth is, all is God. There is no other. Today we are at the threshold of a completely new world. We are here whether we like it or not, or whether we think we are ready for it or not. This is a world of spirit, a world of God, a world of thought and feeling, a world that must be explored by daring navigators, for this world is inside us. And sometimes we must be very daring to venture within. There are many fascinating stories that make up the folklore of our country. We have a national heritage of belief in the unseen, and our forefathers who formed this nation believed in the guiding hand of God. It is even said that a mysterious dim figure was involved in the life of Columbus, a counselor or advisor of some kind. This was the outer beginning of the new world, a world that should know the unseen intimately. Today we are again standing at the door of an even greater world. According to the story that has come down to us, on July 4th, 1776, the founders of our country were gathered in a room in Philadelphia. On the table before them lay the Declaration of Independence. It was completed except for the signatures. Every man knew that if the bid for independence failed, he would be hung for treason, and so there was hesitation. The day wore on, and many speeches were made. Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, they all spoke at length, but still they faltered, uncertain and undecided. The sunlight faded, the lower door was locked, and a guard was posted. And suddenly a man arose, and in a strong, bold voice, he spoke these words. The words of this parchment can never die. The works of man may perish. God's words never. These words will live in the world long after our bones are dust. Sign that parchment. Sign it if the next moment the gibbet's rope is around your neck. Sign, not only for yourselves, but for all ages, for that parchment will be the textbook for freedom, the Bible of the rights of man forever. Do not start and whisper with surprise. God proclaim it. And then the man's manner changed. The manner of speaking changed as well, and he continued. Methinks I see the recording angel standing there, and God speaks. Let there be light again. Tell my people, the poor and oppressed, to go out from the old world and build my altar in the new. With my last faint whisper, I would beg you to sign this parchment for the sake of those millions whose very breath is now hushed in intense expectation that they look to you for the words, "You are free." The unknown speaker dropped down in his seat, and the delegates, carried away by his enthusiasm, rushed forward. John Hancock penned his bold signature, and the quill was grasped again and again until every man signed, and it was done. The delegates turned to thank the unknown speaker, but he was not there. Who was the strange man? No one knows. His name was not recorded. None present knew him, or if they did, they did not acknowledge him. He had entered into the locked door. How? How had he passed the guard, and how did he leave? Only his words remain. He spoke of the rights of man, although it was 13 years before Thomas Paine wrote his book. He mentioned the all-seeing eye of God, which is on the dollar bill today. In our time, there is awakening in man the revolution that God, the unseen in man, has always been present. You say this is just a story. Where is the authority? Where is the proof? All the experiences of life are stories. Where is the authority for anything except in the heart and the mind of the individual who believes? If we can believe, all things are possible. Both the soul of each of us remembers. Deep in our heart is the destiny of greatness. Superhuman perfection is the whole purpose of man. Civilization after civilization has been built by human courage, and can only be destroyed by human ignorance, ignoring the voice within, the voice of the invisible, unseen one. Without the true pattern, we cannot bring forth the perfect plan for life. We live in a most exciting day, our day. This day is the day that the Lord has made, and we have been chosen for this time, whether we are aware of it or not. No man or woman or child is here by chance. All human beings everywhere, whether they worship in a cathedral or in a backyard, whether they kneel or stand or ignore the whole thing, all are important to God and His plan. Every race, every heritage is important to God at this moment, perhaps more important at this period of transition than at any other time in history. Micah and Isaiah both said, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain or the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains." They were speaking of those in exile. We have all been in exile while our whole attention has been turned outward in our great mental and material advancement. And now our exile has ended. Something wonderful is happening to all of us. The truth of God's presence in us all, and our recognition is the summit of the truth, which is symbolized by the unfinished pyramid without the capstone that is shown on our dollar bills. Hasn't the truth been called the capstone of the pyramid, the crown of fulfillment for man? We are no longer under human judgment. We are under the government of God. It does not matter what any man or woman says out there. All that matters to each and every one of us is what our souls say within our own bosom. Man has always had choices, but the time is coming when he will no longer have choice. Man will no longer decide that which is greater. The invisible essence of the universe will decide for all mankind by an inner feeling and knowing, an inner change within all. When the law of God, which is good, will have its way for good, we will find that we are finished with many things. We will no longer be that little person, that poor little me person. We will not accept the unworthy being, that unhappy creature, that sick, tired, weary, lonely person we have claimed ourselves to be. Whenever we are willing to put aside the kind of person out of mind and accept our relationship with God, we shall know who we are and what we are. The night is gone, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us move toward our great true goal and no longer loiter along the way. There is an old Indian legend about an aged father and three sons. And one day he pointed to a distant mountain and he said to his sons, "Climb as far as you can and bring me a momentum of your adventure." One son came back with a rare flower that he had found on a high part of the mountain and gave it to his father. Another climbed to a high place on the mountain and brought back a curious rock. The third son came back empty-handed, saying, "I have brought back nothing, but I climbed to the top of the mountain and I saw the sea." When you climb the summit, you see and you know God. You cannot bring the vision back to another man, for each must see it for himself. Then shall we see the face of God in our mirror and in our fellow man. And then shall we have the presence of the mighty power work in our life, family, our loved ones, and all of mankind. This is the capstone of truth. Keep your mind at this high place, and you will see good everywhere. The destiny of life is yours, and you must see it and feel it and know it for yourself. You must climb. You cannot bring it to any man. Each must climb for himself. The time has come when you will be required to look within yourself for the answer to all things. Are you brave? Are you brave enough, bold enough spiritually to accept the challenge of this new age and this new world? This is our time. This is our privilege. This is our heritage. We must accept the supreme being in whom we trust and refuse to let any person, group of people, nation, condition, or situation rob us of our heritage for good. Do not be disturbed if people sometimes laugh at you, or if you laugh at yourself. Once you know God, you do not mind if people laugh, for you can laugh with the joy of knowing and witnessing the fulfillment of life. Let us not be drawn into the affairs of little men and women who do not see the light and who are unaware of the real purpose of life. Let us rather lift them up with our light and our knowing. We are called to stand because we know. We have the good luck charm in our hand. It is also in our heart. In God we trust. We accept this great truth for ourselves and for all of mankind, today and every day. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your seat. Rest your hands on the floor and place your hands in a comfortable position in your lap or at your side. And just take a deep breath in and let it go slowly out. And relax your body. Be still and quiet your mind. And let go of all of the things that are outside of this peaceful and holy place. Let go of worrisome thoughts that are swirling around in your head. Let go of any anger, any resentment, and any jealousy that you may be harboring. Be still. Be very still. And go within to the deep center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with His unconditional love and His peace. I am the Lord thy God in the midst of you. I am with you always and in every way, every day. I go before you, making every crooked place straight and every rough place smooth. I have a plan for you, a plan that includes everything that is good, everything that is pure, everything that is wholesome. But you have lost your faith in me, and you have placed your faith in the world. The world has a way of separating you from me and all that I would give you for the most beautiful and fulfilled life. The world has a way of drawing you into the confusion and the chaos of everyday events, causing you to lose hope and faith. But I am asking you to open your heart and have faith in me. Have faith in me so that I may prove to you that I am all in all. I am your very being. I am your life and your very breath. There is no place where you can go that I am not. And there is no problem that you have that I cannot solve. I am the single set of footprints you see in the sand, because I am lifting and carrying you in my arms. I am your shield and your buckler in time of trouble. I am the light of your life. I am your peace. I am your joy. I am your wholeness. Come to me. Have faith in me. Abide in me, that I may abide in you and be your loving companion until the end of eternity. You are never alone, for I am with you always, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, for you are my beloved child. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes His light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you His infinite, eternal, and unconditional love. Amen.